Texas Radio, welcome back to the show. Hour two. Oh God, April what? 28th, 2024. The old 24. Yeah, I don't know. Me too. What do you think about that whole Me Too thing and Harvey Weinstein? Was he an evil pig ass bastard?
Yeah. No, I'm not gonna say that he's not. You know.
Okay.
I'd say it's just more of the scripted play, you know, that's going on. It's kind of like sitting here watching, you know, the Trump trials. I keep expecting him to stand up in his chair and point at the judge and say, "You're fired." You know, I mean, he's been an actor. He's always been an actor. Just in a position because of who he is and who he knows. It's Hollywood for ugly people, you know. It's a never ending play.
You know, I got a bunch of videos from a customer of mine, and he happened to seems like he was a Harvey Weinstein connoisseur, right? And I'm kind of like, okay, I've really never seen these movies, and you know, I'm kind of off the net for the most part. Most of my internet is metered, so watching the nonsense that's out there, you know, when I hit a movie, I just watch a movie and then, you know, move on with my life and so forth. But I saw some Harvey Weinstein movies, and as a producer, he made some, very good movies. I mean, he had actors that he drew you in to the show, and they were theater. They were good theater. And I was kind of like going, wow. But the whole Weinstein trial and the Me Too movement of the so many years past, when it's been just like 4 or 5 years, where everybody said, well, we believe the girl. If she said it, it doesn't matter if it's on. It was kind of a crazy time, Alan. You know, everybody was just like, Me Too, Me Too, Me Too. And, well, it takes two hands to clap. I guess that's what I'm kind of getting at, you know. It didn't seem that it wasn't like they were getting a job at McDonald's, right? Or was it? What do you think?
Well, I mean, my God, Steve. I mean, I think my whole life I've been hearing about what happens on a casting couch. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and now all of a sudden it's national prominence.
Shocking.
And right. I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, how many of these little, you know, child actors have we heard, you know, saying, they were abused the whole time. That's how they got to be a big, you know, a Hollywood star was, you know, they were sexually, physically, mentally, who knows, maybe had some blood drained from them and drank. You know, the perversion that's been going on there is just been forever. And once again, who's the head of all that? Those good Christian boys. Yeah.
I know.
Not saying that I believe that they're any better. It's just we're given the perception that whole movement is good at its soul because they got Jesus. You know, it's like there's a lot of them pastors out there that I wouldn't trust any more than I would a rabbi.
Yeah, it's like when a politician gets in trouble for, you know, whatever sexual deviancy, I kind of like go, and your point is what? You know, I could do with Lauren, you know, you got to get out of the system and you got to stop voting and giving them the power and whatever. It's troubling. The Me Too thing, people don't care, Alan. That's one of those things. It's like we shouldn't care. Right. Well, Harvey Weinstein, what does a producer do? Right. Did he actually do anything? Because he wasn't a director. He hired the directors. The director hired maybe he made decisions on who could, and his casting couch. He had a whole bunch of starlets come up and say, well, he was abusive. All sorts of things, probably things that I probably wouldn't want to repeat on air. Do I disagree with that they happened or not? I don't stand in judgment of Harvey Weinstein. I wouldn't want to send my daughter to work in Hollywood or my son. I think that's kind of futile. You know, am I in control of them? Well, maybe I should take them off TikTok so they don't want to go work in Hollywood and become a starlet. But there's a problem with these people that want to become starlets and stars, Alan. You know, they call them influencers now as well. And an influencer doesn't necessarily mean that you have any value to your life at all, right? So what's an influencer, Alan? You know, is that somebody that can make a great birdhouse? Seems kind of...
A facilitator, a manipulator. What is an influencer, Steve? You know, I did see a little video one time, or heard it, I can't remember which, but it was called Influencing the Influencers. You know, a guy was got together with a bunch of these, you know, international, worldwide influencers, internet influencing people, you know, that start all these, you know, memes and everything. And I forgot if he made a little bet with them that you know, that he could influence them, and I guess it was on, and he started up something, and by God, all the influencers started talking about what he influenced. And one Judas goat leading another Judas goat up the slaughterhouse ramp, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's whatever. But you know, I was twofold when I heard that Harvey Weinstein was, you know, getting out. Maybe threefold, might even be more. Right? You know, a lot of times we're told in conspiracy theory lore that these folks get to, you know, run amok, right, until it's time for their comeuppance. And their comeuppance is going to happen. And once their comeuppance happens, then they can come back. So is it time for Harvey Weinstein to come back? Right? His comeuppance was he went to jail. Did he go to jail? Right? Did he really go to jail? Or did he stop attending the Hollywood parties? Was there a jail cell for him next to a guy named Bubba? I don't know that, right? You know, they don't tell you about that. It was a terrible jail, Alan. It was stinky and concrete blocks and had a little 3-inch by 3-inch window. and it was smoked, and he barely ever saw the light, and there were, I don't know that, you know, but now he's out at a hospital being treated for his, you know, things he needs to be treated for because he was wrongly accused, and they found a mistrial, right? Hell, as far as I'm concerned, most trials out there in the courts are mistrials, you know, or have the potential to be mistrials. But that doesn't mean there are not bad people in the world that are in jail. So it's just all confusing, Alan. All confusing.
Yeah, as far as I know, the only really hardships he went through was that he was having to, you know, eat and drink, you know, industrial adrenochrome and baby blood and everything. He couldn't find his own fresh supplies out on the free market.
Mm-hmm. And what is her name? Ghislaine Maxwell, right? You know, she's sitting there in wherever the hell she is, you know, eating a vegan meal, right? Watching a little 13-inch LCD TV with only 2,468 channels. No, she probably doesn't have television, right? You know, who the hell knows what's going on with these people? But one of those truths are, you know, Epstein was in trial or in trouble for sex trafficking, right? And he trafficked those people to somebody, and not one person went to jail for that. You know, the connections of connections to Israel were there, right? They were all over the place, but nobody talked about it. Was that just too damn sensitive? And maybe I'm going too far. No, I'm not. I go far all the time, but I always stay close, too. Whatever. It all doesn't matter.
I keep hearing people, you know, I've heard some people, you know, recently talking more and more about how the AI and losing the grip on what little reality we had left, you know. The AI, all they need is just a grainy photo of who you are, and maybe a short sound clip of your voice pattern, your voice print,
mm-hmm.
and they you can be recreated digitally, and no one will ever be able to tell the difference, you know. And I'm sitting here going, it's like, yeah, what do you think the term artificial intelligence is? You know, it's supplanting reality with a digital world, sucking us all into a matrix where you're in a little shell filled with green goo, and you're just supplying bio energy to the system. I don't know, Steve. You know, reality is slipping away. You know, Lauren said something about, you know, America being the dumbest. Well, it's like a pretty intelligent woman that documented everything. You know, girl, mm-hmm. lady named Charlotte Iserbeet. You know, I've read her book a couple of times at least. You know, and she went into these meetings that they were doing, creating change agents, you know, what they were going to do, how they were going to pervert, you know, our whole society. And, you know, it's on a global scale, but, you know, but we've been definitely hit harder than a lot of them because we were the beacon of the world, of light in the world, you know. I don't know, you know, this has all been predicted. You know, Steve, I've done this pattern recognition. You know, I was good, you know, in doing, equipment repair, machine repair. Give me a schematic, you know, hydraulics, electronics, you know, pneumatics, you know, tell me what it's not doing. And you look through the schematic and just through simple logic, it's like, well, this isn't working. This makes this work. Well, this makes this work, and that makes that work, and this switch makes everything work. And, you know, it's not real hard, but it does take some thought process and putting pieces together. And man, once you do it, it's not a real pleasant world out there, Steve. I hate to always sound negative, but folks, you have to understand how long this has been planned, how long this has been in action, how insidiously slow some of it's been put in action. You know, there are those of us who've been preparing for, you know, 30 years, you know, for the coming apocalypse, you know, Y2K, blah, 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 you know. Is it going to happen tomorrow? Probably not, because that's not the way they do things, except for on very rare occasions.
Alan, you know, we've got a couple calls, but before we go there, right. You know, I'm living in a trailer right now, and there was a motorcycle group meetup thingy-jig that happened all around me, right? And you know how I'm always getting off on bikers, and I call them, you know, accountants and, you know, whatnot. You know, I see these motorcycles on the road, and they are mostly accountants, right? And maybe lawyers and whatnot with their $50,000-$100,000 bikes. But this motorcycle club that, you know, it appeared around me, they were old style bikers. They had a swap meet, and you know what that was like, Alan? You know, it was beautiful. They had old motorcycles and old crankshafts and pistons and sprockets, and they were selling old tires, right? And I'm kind of like going, wow, this is neat. I'm glad there's still a little bit of this left in America. But I do worry that, you know, at some point, that's all that's going to be left of America is selling the old crap from, you know, the days of yore, because we don't make new good things. We make with the new hydrogen car. It's the bestest engine ever once we figure out how to make hydrogen. Oh, the pain. I never did get to tell you about that. You know, so I wanted to. It was neat. You might have really enjoyed seeing a bunch of that.
Oh, I figured there was some type of motorcycle event in town because I heard them thundering up and down the county road out here.
Mm. Yeah, and they had tents and all this other crap, and I saw people doing the walk of shame, or, well, the walk of where the hell's my tent? You know, and I'm like, going, okay, dude, you had a bad night. Whatever. Let's go to the phones. Hey, Sherry. Good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning, y'all. Yeah, I bet those guys, even a lot of them, work on their own bikes.
Yeah, they did. I saw them try to kickstart it a couple times. I'm sure they're their own mechanics.
And they had carburetors, huh?
The beautiful carburetors. I hear you. And bad gas.
Do you guys know what prison Harvey Weinstein was in? It was in New York, right?
I believe so. It sounds right.
I thought for a while he was in Rikers, but I can't believe they would leave him in Rikers. So he was probably in some club bed.
Yeah, wherever he was in a penthouse suite.
Yeah, I had a friend who got caught at. This was back in the 90s, and he got caught at the border bringing some weed across, and it wasn't just a little bit, but he ended up in Big Spring, and that was kind of, that's what is it, a low security or medium security prison?
Right.
Well,
I don't know. It might have been Rikers that he was at. It says that yesterday he was transferred to Rikers Island Jail. Well, no, he was transferred to there. I guess the fiction or the story that they're going to come up with will change. No, you know, I don't know.
Anyway, my friend, he was lucked out and got put in Big Springs. And one of the stories his wife told me... was that when he went in, or while he was in there, there was a banker there. That, and Lady Bird came to see him with all her Secret Service. You know, which is something I thought.
Good old Lady Bird Johnson, what a wonderful person. Yeah, married to that wonderful guy, yes, all those years. Yeah, you don't talk bad about the Johnsons in around this part of the country, because he was born right outside Fredericksburg here, over around Stonewall, Johnson City. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was something else. Oh, something you said earlier. You started that show, but now I'm having a senior moment.
We go off on lots of tears. It's just... too much sometimes,
but
well, maybe
anyway.
Just enough.
So maybe if I remember it, I might call back in, but maybe not.
Okay.
All right.
Feel free to call back in, or, you know,
all right, take care.
Whatever. We've got one more caller on the line, so, you know, if you guys want to call in. Yeah, and before I go to the next caller, Mike in Kentucky, before I go to you, yeah, support Republic Broadcasting, republicbroadcasting.org. I am not told to actually say that. I just kind of want to. You know, we're losing GCN, Genesis Live. It's another alternate media, arguably. Well, it was at one time a premier alternate media outlet. Was it ever premier? I guess when it came online after Republic Radio International and so forth. But maybe we'll talk about that someday. You know, where did GCN Live come from and where did it go to? That's an interesting story to me. But Republic Broadcasting is still here. It's one of the places you can hear a lot of different voices. You know, I appreciate you guys tuning in and listening to Alan and I every Sunday since whenever we started talking. And, you know, but we do need your support. We got to keep all the guys at Republic Broadcasting, well, all live, paid. And, well, keep the message out there, whatever the message is, because later on today, you're going to have different people talking about different stuff, stuff that Alan and I don't agree with. And we think that you should listen to all points of view and make up your own mind. Right, Alan?
Yes, sir. That's what we're here
for.
Sir. That's what we're here for. You know, everyone has an opinion. And, you know, hopefully, you know, it's not an opinion out of ignorance. I try to be as honest and truthful with y'all as I can in what I've been able to perceive of the world, and that's all any of us can do.
There you go. And with that, let's open the curtains and make the announcement. Here is Mike in Kentucky. Mike in Kentucky. Over.
To answer your inquiry, I'm using a computer to assist me with this call.
Yeah, this might be recorded for the safety of mankind. How's that?
Oh, I had a very good computer-assisted AI-type call probably, I'm going to say 12 years ago, using somebody's natural voice that claimed to be a state police officer here in Kentucky.
Wow.
And they no doubt had contracted a call center to use this guy's voice with computer-assisted responses based on what you said. And I could tell by the rhythm of the voice it was off a little bit, you know, after asking a few questions, you know. And I said, "You're a robot." And then it ignored what I said, you know.
Really?
And just continued on with the spiel about supporting the Kentucky State Police and how, you know, this or that, you know. So I said it again, "You're a robot." And finally, that's what it said. It said, "To answer your inquiry, I'm using a computer to assist me in this call." And it was shocking how good it was, because they had actually recorded, you know, pre-scripted responses for a predictable range of responses that people give.
Yeah.
In the call. And so,
flow chart. Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, sort of like a if then else sort of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it was a list of choices. And so the call center could have been anywhere in the dang world, Philippines to wherever, and on the screen would be in their own language the live translation of my voice into their language and my text, voice to text response. And they could sit there working for pennies an hour, selecting from a list of responses using that guy's American voice. So when you're talking about AI, you know, that's 12 years ago, and you can go look it up. They've been using dirt cheap labor from third world countries to tweak AI for at least that long. I looked at it up, and I thought, you know what? They're using cheap labor for everything else, and sure enough, there's articles written about it when you go digging years ago about how much living, breathing people may be behind the so-called AI that you think is super-duper sophisticated computer stuff, and it's actually got some, you know, somebody's on the other end of the screen tweaking around with it live while you're while you're being manipulated.
Mike, what you're talking about here, a scene just flashed into my mind from the movie Idiocracy. I don't know. You remember when he goes to see the doctor and the little girl sitting back there, and he says, "I don't know. my neck really hurts," and she's about to push a button with a neck pain, and it's like, "Oh, but I'm just this," and it's like, "I just really don't know," and she pushes the question mark.
Well, and then the guy has all those crazy different probes and gets them mixed up as to which one to put in the butt, mouth, or whatever. Put this under your arm. Put this in your mouth. Put this in your butt. Oh, wait a minute. No, put this one in your butt. Oh, Lord, where's it been before me?
It's a beautiful world.
And then he goes into the doctor's office and notices the calendar and the magazine all say, like, whatever it is, 2134, 200 years in the future. And he looks out the window and starts screaming. And the guy's realizing that he can't be scanned and goes, "Unscannable!" And pushes a panic button and he gets arrested because he doesn't have an implant chip or a barcode or whatever the hell, you know. He's not got the mark of the beast or the technocracy of Idiocracy. And then the really funny one is when he's in prison and the guard hits him over the head because he says he's in the wrong line. They're trying to induct him into prison. He goes, "I'm supposed to be in that line." He hits him over the head and says, "Get over there then, dumb." And then he goes out the door and the machine guns shoot each other instead of him. just one comedy of error. Both of you seen that movie or not?
Yeah. God, I relived that whole thing as you were talking. You know, it's going to have to be on the... And, you know, once you've seen that movie, you really... Well, it also helps you walk through life, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like some of the little events, like the get-out-of-prison thing, right? Yeah. I remember having to cash a check and not having a bank account. And I had an expired ID, and then... an ID that I'd created, right? And then the bank wanted two forms of identification, but I had an expired passport at the time and an ID that I created for my activism stuff for one of my little things, and I needed to cash a check. And I said, according to Idiocracy, right, I can use this, right? But I have to let them tell me that stupid Steve. So I walked in with my little badge around my neck, and then I said, "I want to cash this check." And, you know, she says, "Well, we need two forms of ID." And I pulled out the U.S. passport, and it was expired. And I said, "Well, I only have this." And she says, "You have that thing around your neck." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I forgot about this here." And she's like, "Yeah, see, you got two forms, silly." Crap.
I'm getting more and more smart, Alec, as I get older. If somebody gets all stupid like that, I might pick a booger out and say, "Here, give me a piece of tape. Here's a booger." If it comes down to it, you can get my genetic fingerprint off of that the government already has, and destroying my privacy, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment, First Amendment, freedom of association. I mean, it's all scrap. So, if they get stupid about it. But how long ago was that? Because the banks went through this phase where they wanted your name. Thumbprint.
That was 2011, 2012 in Arizona.
I would give me some ink and I'll put it on my thumb and I'll just put my thumbprint on the signature, you know, on the back. I mean, if the FBI or whoever wants to.
That was a long time ago.
There you go, you know. But how much was the check? Remember?
A couple $100. That's about it. But it wasn't my bank. And then, you know, my ID I had printed in Texas, right? And passport.
If they charge you for it, you might as well go to a pawn shop. They'll cash stuff a lot of times.
Maybe so. Well, that's in the past. You want to hang on? Or
I sure can.
Got a break.
I haven't even got to what I was called about.
Dang. Hold on. Put this in your mouth and this. No.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Coming into the home stretch, it's Republic of Texas Radio on the right, or is it on the left, or who gives a crap what it's on? RepublicBroadcasting.org is where we're on. And we've got Mike in Kentucky hanging on the line. Well, he's kind of hanging. Go ahead.
Well, when you took my call a minute ago, you were like over Roger. And it's funny to flip around. I'm kind of stuck this morning with transportation issues and different people going to different places, so I'm not in my usual location. But right when you said that, playing around with the radio, I flipped around, of course, saw the Flintstones and different things. But Steve, the companion for Wonder Woman, was on the radio, and he said, Wonder Woman said, Roger, Steve. there's a synchronicity to the universe.
Yeah.
So what a coincidence. Where's Roger Rod Serling, you know, smoking a cigarette in black and white, submitted for your approval. But I've got a friend down there in Texas that's a little bit of a computer geek nerd, and he was also a skateboarder. And that got him in jail, the skateboarding, not his hacking of a, I forget what telephone company he said it was, you know, AT&T or somebody. He noticed this guy's badge number, ID badge number, and his name, and he committed it to memory real quick when he was talking to him. And he used that to log in. This is how much of a geek the guy was in, like, 1984, I think he said. You know, the nerd's association with Wonder Woman is notorious, right? I don't know why they are so enamored with Wonder Woman, but a lot of them are. It's kind of a joke, you know. But her outfit is just horrible. She looks like she's got granny panties with stars on them, and I can't, you know, I guess I didn't notice how wide her thigh gap is, but in any event, this guy got this guy's badge number, and he figured, well, maybe his ID number is his password. He logs in and gets Linda Carter's phone number. He fishes around in the network and gets Linda Carter's phone number out of California, calls her up, and she goes, hello. And the first time, I guess he was too chicken to say anything and just, you know, listened to her breathe and hung up until she hung up. And then the next time he called her, I think he said, is this Linda Carter? And she goes, yes, who's this? You know, and he's still too chicken, he hangs up on her. But the guy's got way more, you know, intuition or whatever and how to work computers than I ever had. But it's just such a cliche nerd story, you know. He hacks a phone company, and what's he do? Instead of, you know, steal a bunch of money with banking or something, he tries to talk to Linda Carter, Wonder Woman, and freezes up. It's
fascinating, like, for sure.
Right out of Brazil or Idiocracy, either one.
Well, that goes back to, like, Steve Jobs lore. And I have no personal understanding of Steve Jobs, or I'm sorry, Steve Wozniak lore about, you know, the phreaking that happened. And phreaking is a technical phone term for hacking within the phone system. There's some neat stories in there, you know, like Captain Crunch and the Tone. We used to do a little bit of that stuff when I was a kid. You know, there's phone numbers that you could dial to get information about the phone line or free phone calls for a time. And fascinating.
Growing up in rural America, with party lines
without
and
change.
A high school print, I didn't know any of this stuff. And the best we knew was from a teacher, I won't give his name, but if he heard the hum from the PA speaker, he'd point up to it and put his finger over his lips because he knew that meant the principal was listening in, you know, because those speakers were two-way. And so one time when I called my mom up to could get a ride home from band practice. She knew, and I she knew who I would, was calling at the time I was calling, whatever it was, you know, 6:30 in the evening, that it was me calling for a ride. So I said, "Hey, Rochester, bring the car around to the band room." And she blew a raspberry at me and hung up. Well, the principal on Monday, this was like on a Thursday or Friday, on Monday, the band director said, "All right, we're going to lose our phone in the band office unless somebody goes down and talks to the principal." Somebody called the office and said they were Rochester to bring the car around to the band room, blew a raspberry in the phone, and hung up. And when it was, the dang principal was listening in on everybody's phone calls, because you could sit there and you could hold the line one button down, and when it lit up, you let off the receiver, and you could listen in, and nobody would hear a click. You know, so
the good old days.
I learned this years ago. Well, we're talking early 80s. So
yeah, those are the old days.
I had to fess up. I said, "That was me. I was calling my mom, kidding around, asking for." And so he intimidated me. When I went down to the office, he was like, "You know, the phone is for serious communications only." And I was too intimidated to say, "Hey, buddy, listening in on a private phone conversation is probably a federal crime, you asshole." I should have said that to him. Had pushed him out and seen where I got me, you know. But I wasn't as fortuitous as I am now to put up with BS, you know. There's a lot of people over the years have told me, "Aren't you afraid for your family?" Or, you know, "How can you talk about the stuff you talk about on the air?" And I'm like, "Aren't you afraid for your family? I mean, what? A wise man provides for his grandchildren. What world are you leaving? You know, what world are you putting up with?"
A world of fear.
A world of idiots. I mean, you brought up idiocracy. But, no, I don't know. If you've got any more callers, I need to let you go probably anyway. But what happened to Alan? He just fell silent on me.
Oh, he's tried to get in there a little bit, and you just keep going, but that's okay. He's entertained.
You know, every now and then life happens. Y'all can probably tell, you know, my heart's not really, doesn't seem to be in it today. Just kind of in one of those little funk cycles. Never claimed to be a professional broadcaster and be the same every week on radio, you know. I am who I am. You know, things intrude. You know, life happens, and little things do get to you. Not as energetic. I'm here to a point. You know, it's just not one of my best weeks I've had, or one of my best days so far. But
I'll get you some sunshine. Go for a walk. And I hate to say it, but the research shows if you isolate yourself, your hippocampus shrinks, and that leads to, that's a path to Alzheimer's. So people in prison management systems or whatever, they've learned this. The guys that get, you know, locked away, they end up going either stir crazy or senile early. So you got to, unfortunately, put up with people and socially interact. I try to tell that to my mom a lot. She would love to socially interact with people again, Mike.
Huh? Except for I find very few people around me. I find walking smartphones.
That's so true. Yeah. It's an amazing place where we are nowadays. Amazing's probably the wrong. Thanks for the call, Mike. I know you got busy.
I got
busy
stuff
Sunday.
To do. All right.
Yeah, places to go, stuff to do. Yeah, it's a busy life.
I wanted to bring up to him. It's like I heard his little telecom geek talk with Darren yesterday. That was quite interesting.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I must have missed that part of the show. It's a man. My weekends just get so busy sometimes. You know, and I listen to Govern America throughout the week. You know, as I hit play and then come back to it or come whatever. No, just it's the one neat thing that I find about being able to do on demand. And I hate podcasts. Is that just dual, Alan, saying that I listen to recordings and I hate recordings? I don't know.
It's a shame. It's like one of the shows you don't listen to anymore. I got really kind of offended that, why should I be offended, right? But the Power Hour, Dave Krieger's show. I tune in and listen to him from time to time. I liked his time slot. I really liked hearing his news at 7 o'clock in the morning, and it was great. You know, I could get some news, and then, you know, as any broadcaster, I may dislike some of the subjects they get into, and I'd leave or disagree with his politics, and then I'd leave. And I do that on a lot of things, but this week he mentioned that he's moving his show back to 11 to 1. And it's going to do a pre-record for people at, so I guess it's going to be coming across the satellite at 7 a.m. to 9. And I'm like, doesn't that change the game completely? Because if you're a satellite listener and you're hearing a pre-record, it's no longer interactive. And then interesting voices like, you know, well, shoot, we've had some great voices today. People with great thoughts. Lauren called in, right? You know, if you do a pre-record, and that's just me. You know, it's not my life. It's Dave Krieger's life. You know, he's got to manage his show, you know, and so now he needs to move it to 11 to 1, and I'm sitting there going, well, might as well just stop listening right now. Because you're going to go away, so I'll just train myself not to listen to you. And I'm like, go on. Is that being a hypocrite, Alan? You know, is I sit there and say I don't like pre-recorded stuff, yet I listen to it?
We're all twisted off in one way or another, Steve, in this digital nightmare. But yeah, you know, no, I've always liked interaction, to tell you the truth. You know, I really, for the most part, every now and then I do. You know, like to listen to, you know, one person basically kind of force feed me, you know, their viewpoint, and there is no, you know, no interaction, no dispute, no disagreements or, you know, anything else. I've always, and that's one of the main things I really miss, Steve, is not just interaction, but personal interaction, talking with someone else without them pulling out their smartphone and shoving it in my face saying, look, see this?
Oh, God, that's horrible.
You know, that's just me, and once again, I know I'm a freaking brontosaurus, but you know, I said, I think last week or the week before, I said, you know, the only thing I can control is my personal integrity, and I choose not to do that, and I will not get sucked into it, and that's just me. That the only thing that I really have left is my personal integrity.
Yeah, and I guess I have some integrity, but I've mentioned that I listen to stuff in the past, right? I've got a lot of my favorites, and you know, I've been the past few months I've been listening to the Final Hour. It's actually the Final Hour with Travis on Friday nights, and I don't know, someday you're going to actually hear an episode of it, Alan. You know, it's kind of intriguing. Well, I just you know, I like it. You know, I don't know why I like it, but I forgot that there's probably an episode waiting for me as soon as I get to it. But I don't do podcasts, which is something to talk about someday, maybe, but who cares? You know, this is a radio show. That's what I like about Republic Broadcasting. They do live content where you can call in, right? Right now it's probably a little bit too late, but you can probably call in, you know, 512-248-8252 and talk to us. Tell me that I'm full of it. Tell Alan he's full of it. Tell me you like Alan, you like me. I don't care one way or the other. I'd be interested to hear from you. You know, there's a podcast, you can't do that. Pre-records, you can't do that. It leads to no distortions. You know, things like Govern America, you know, he spends a lot of time during the week mapping out the entire show and how he wants to go about it, the clips that he's going to play, and then
My God, I've talked to Darren before in the past, and the amount of time that he spends during the week on the production of that one three-hour show, besides the 3 hours, well, it's just a lot of work for one man. For me, you know, Alan and I, I spend a couple hours beforehand, you know, figuring out where we're going to go, and...
I do like Robert Rebo. You know, he spends a lot of time, you know, get all these clips together and has all this material and presents it very well. You know, sometimes I almost don't want callers to call into his show because he has so much, such a breadth of material. He doesn't just get on one subject. You know, he talks about a variety of things, and he's got clips that he plays and a whole list of things. And he always says, I haven't even gotten to half of what I wanted to talk about.
Right. But it's a great show, but it's a live show. You know, it's live. It's not a recording, and you know, that's what makes it special to me. But I don't know. Dichotomy, thy name is human. That was a Steve. Somebody else probably said that too. It's not new. Well, what haven't we covered today? I have a whole bunch of things that I could touch on, you know, but are they important? I have a hard time figuring out what's important except for A, B, and C, Alan.
I mean, you know, what can we talk about that we're not helping Wag the Dog? You know, I mean, another great movie that needs to be watched and rewatched and rewatched. And every time you rewatch it, you pick up different nuances. And if you watch that movie and you actually think about it, you will never go down and vote again.
I don't know. I've seen it, and I still do that exercise called voting or bossing people around. And I'm not too sure why. Maybe I can get a psychoanalyst to help me with my brain and figure out why I'm still voting. You know, but maybe I'll figure it out while I'm doing radio shows. Because why do we do the radio, Alan? Why do you come on every week? Why is that important to you? You figured that one out yet?
To try to help as many people as I can, because trying to do it in my local environment is pointless. I've figured that out. I've been ostracized and banned and left out hanging out on my own so much. At least here we do have interaction, maybe help some people, maybe some new people come to the realization of really, you know, I can't talk that much about, you know, current events that much. You know, my sources are getting stripped from me more and more, and I can't just go to another website, you know, or go to another search engine or whatever, you know. My sources are being stripped away, but what I've learned while I had some fairly decent sources, you know, RBN being one of them, you know, is just how much and, you know, how devious this is, how long it's been going on, how long ago it was planned, how well the plan is functioning, not just on a statewide or a nationwide, but on a global scale. You see the controllers, you know. And unfortunately, I've got an analytical type brain, I guess you would call it at its simplest. You can take in information and you can correlate it and collate it. You know, you can compare it to other things that have things you've read, things you've heard, things you've watched, and then what's really happened. Sometimes it's really hard to see because it is an incremental process for the most part. Every now and then they jump start it. You know, they throw a COVID at us. You know, blah blah blah. But just the incremental nature of it sometimes is so difficult to see, and that's you've got to really sit back and do a little introspective, you know, thought process and sit back and think and put this stuff together, you know, in your own brain and see where it's all leading to and where it came from. You know, I can talk a lot about where it came from. I've done a lot of reading, a lot of research, a lot of thinking. You know, that's all I can do. That's why I'm here, Steve. I'm just doing the only thing I really can at this point in time until all hell breaks loose and we all know, I hear more and more people talking about it. It's like, you're not going to vote your way out of it. You know, whatever little battle you want to do, if you want to be involved in the election process, as long as you're telling people, you know, what we're doing is basically pointless, you know, as long as you're trying to inform people, you know, about, you know, in any way you can, fight however you can. We all fight. We all have different means, different methods,
funny.
You know, different opportunities. And this is one of my only opportunities I have, you know, to get my viewpoint and what I've seen and what I've perceived and put together about what's going on and what's being brought to bear against us. That's why I'm here, Steve. It's the one of the only things that I have left that I can do. My local environment's pretty much burned out. My limited scope of human contact. I used to call it human contact. It's not really human anymore, in my viewpoint. But I don't know, Steve. That's about as simple as I can put, you know, why I'm here.
Good answer. Let's go to Art in Georgia. Murr, I'm not sure we're going to have enough time, but let's do Art. Art, where is your head today, sir?
Oh, my head is where you were talking about people like Roger Sales, who have gone to other countries and stuff. And just to kind of, I can't speak to anybody else, but I can tell you a little bit about Roger Sales, because I've actually spoke with the man. He's from Georgia. And I asked him one day, you know, why he went to Argentina. This is, I don't know where he's at now, but at the time he was in Argentina. And he told me that the reason he left and went to Argentina was because he got tired of all the harassment that he was getting because of trying to do what he does. And at that point I told him, well, you know, if you run to another country because you can't handle what's happening here, then in my opinion, you got no business trying to tell any of us how to live in the United States.
Thank
when
you.
When you ran away
Thank you.
From the very thing.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, his methods, it's like, oh, yeah, you just become American national and say no to this and yes to that and maybe to that, and they'll just leave you alone. And it's like, well, that's why you're in another country. Yeah, thank you, Art. No, that needed to be brought out.
Yeah.
So I don't listen to any of these people because they're all full of caca. Every one of them. They're full of caca. And something else. Now, there is one guy named Ron Glass that he's actually done some really good work. He's, I believe, in South Carolina. But he's never run away from the problem. He stays and he fights. So, you know, people like that you can listen to because they're still in the fight. But these people that run to another country, no, sit down and shut up and do us all a favor. You know, if you ran to another country to get away from what's happening here because you can't handle it, when we do finally get all this mess straightened out, and we will get it straightened out, when we finally do, do us all a favor. Don't come back, because we don't need you here after the problem's been solved. We need you here while we're trying to solve the problem.
I hear you. But what about the money, Art? Aren't they, some of them are needing money. Okay, that's it. Thanks for calling, Art. Alan, thanks for doing the show with me. You know, I always appreciate Murr. Apologies. Ran out of time. Hang on, folks. Red Pill Politics, Dave Kopeck, coming up next. Great job.
Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the Gold Mountain and Medical Symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.